Chapter 7. Sabrina scanned her surroundings. She was lying in the suddenly well-manicured Ferryport Landing Cemetery. The moon was in the sky, and her sister and Charming were next to her. She took a deep breath and waited for the sound of an approaching army to break the silence. After a few moments, all she could hear were crickets chirping in the grass. She sat up and took a deep breath, enjoying the clean, crisp air in her lungs. She knew they were home. Charming sat up and rubbed his eyes. He looked up at the sky, then turned and looked behind him. Snow White's gravestone was gone. In fact, the trio was lying in an unused portion of the cemetery.
"I think we're back," Daphne said.
"It appears so," Charming replied, "though what day it is still presents a problem."
Sabrina smiled and scanned the horizon. She spotted a thin trail of smoke rising into the clouds.
"Well, let's go ask someone," she said, as she scrambled to her feet.
She helped Daphne and Charming up and then marched in the direction of the fire. They walked through the forest until they found an old-fashioned log cabin with a thick stream of smoke drifting out of its chimney. Sabrina's heart froze, convinced that they had returned to the days of the American frontier, but then Charming pointed out the fancy new sports car parked in the driveway.
"We're back where we're supposed to be," he said. "That's the latest model. I had one on reserve before I lost my job."
Charming pounded on the cabin's door, demanding a ride to town, but he only managed to terrorize the homeowner who hid and swore he'd call the police if the filthy man and his ragamuffin children didn't get off his property. Sabrina was so angry she could have kicked the prince. If he'd just knocked like a normal person and asked nicely, the three of them might have already been on their way back home. Apparently, 3 months in a doomsday future hadn't stripped Charming of his sense of entitlement.
"Then at least tell me what day it is," Charming demanded. "I'm calling the cops right now, you lunatic," the man shouted back.
So, they were forced to walk. Sabrina's feet were already killing her from her previous trek into town. As for Charming, he was mostly quiet, though he spent much of the trip attempting to make his tattered clothing and ratty hair presentable. Several hours later, the trio arrived at Granny Relda's. The house was a very welcome sight, but Charming stopped the girls before they could run inside.
"We should get our story straight," he said.
Sabrina was stunned.
"What story? We went into the future. We need to warn everyone about what is going to happen."
"Child, are you really going to go in there and tell everyone you love that they are going to have tragic futures? Your uncle murdered? Canis, a savage beast?"
"It is kind of a downer," Daphne said. "But what choice do we have?"
"You have the choice to say nothing," Charming said. "Listen, you have to trust me on this, because I've had a lot longer to think about what I'd do when I got back than you two. The three of us know things. I know exactly how Snow dies. I know who kills her. If I tell her, and word gets out that she knows, I can't prevent the killer from changing his plan. But if I can stop the murderer on the day it occurs, I can stop it from ever happening. You can do the same thing. Do you understand?"
"I don't know," Sabrina said. "We need to tell them. Together we can all work on it."
"Sabrina, it's best if we keep this to ourselves. We can work in the shadows. We can fix things without anyone knowing."
Sabrina looked into Charming's eyes. They were filled with worry, but she could tell he truly believed that sharing what they had seen could lead to bigger problems. Should she trust him? Charming had always been a bit underhanded, and it was no secret that he disliked her family, but he had always been honest.
"Daphne and I can't fix the things that happened to our family on our own," Sabrina said.
"You won't have to," Charming replied. "I'm going to help. Together, we're going to fix everything we can, including waking up your parents. I have resources that can help make that happen. I can also give the two of you all the time in the world to find those stolen items. We have to fix everything, girls, everything. But we can't let anyone get in our way, even if they mean well. Sabrina, you have to trust me."
"I don't know if I can," Sabrina said.
Then fine. Go in there and tell that fairy boy of yours that you are married to him in the future, Charming said. Or I can for you if you're so set on sharing.
Sabrina stopped in her tracks and turned to the former mayor.
You wouldn't. If we tell, we tell everything, the former mayor said.
She could already feel her face turning red with embarrassment. Charming laughed.
How does that song go? Sabrina and Puck, sitting in a tree. K-I-S-S-I-N-G. First comes love.
Sabrina watched as her sister started to join the song.
Shut your traps! She shouted at both of them. Fine! We'll do it your way. For now.
Charming nodded.
Very good. It's rare to meet a grim that is so reasonable, and I've known quite a number of you.
Just then the door flew open, and Granny and Uncle Jake rushed outside. They huffed across the lawn and wrapped Sabrina and Daphne in bear-like hugs. Elvis followed, knocking Daphne to the ground and covering her in sloppy kisses.
Lieblings! Oh, thank goodness! Their grandmother cried. We've been looking for you for hours!
The happy reunion didn't last long. Mr. Canis raced across the lawn and snatched Charming off the ground with one of his clawed hands.
If you have touched a hair on their heads, so help me.
Mr. Canis, he didn't hurt us, Sabrina shouted. Put him down.
Canis ignored Sabrina's plea.
Where did you go?
We got lost.
Canis scowled.
If you had gotten lost, I would have found you.
Well, I found them, Charming added, as he fought to free himself. Rather, they found me wandering in the woods, and I helped them get back. Now put me down, you filthy mongrel!
Canis turned to Granny Relda. The old woman nodded, and he set the prince back down on his feet.
And where have you been? Granny asked Charming. You've been missing for 3 months. My family has torn this town apart looking for you. Snow is out of her mind with worry. You should call her right away.
Charming shook his head. I wanted to get the girls home safely. I must be going.
Where?
Sabrina said.
She's right, pal, Uncle Jake added. You lost your house when you lost the election. The Queen of Hearts lives there now. Technically, you're homeless.
Oh, Charming said, as he stared off at the horizon. Sabrina couldn't believe what she said next.
You can stay with us.
Granny gasped, but forced a smile. Then she put her hand on Sabrina's forehead.
Are you feeling well?
I'm feeling fine, Granny, Sabrina said. If the girls were going to help Charming change the future, it was probably best if he was close by. Sure, he was an arrogant jerk, especially when it came to her family. But she could tolerate a barrage of insults if it would help avert disaster.
Mr. Charming could use some time to get on his feet. He'd do the same for us.
Don't bet on it, Uncle Jake said.
Sabrina is right, Granny stammered. We don't have a lot of room, Billy, but you're welcome to it. The sofa is very comfortable.
What? Canis growled.
Charming turned to the family.
I couldn't.
He's right, Mr. Canis said. He couldn't. We insist, Granny said.
And she took Charming by the arm and led him into the house. Canis turned to Sabrina and gave her a look that was both bewildered and betrayed. Sabrina blushed, realizing that she had just invited her friend's bitterest enemy to live with them. He might never forgive her.
Relda, may I have a word with you? Canis asked.
Granny turned and approached her oldest friend.
Yes?
You cannot be serious, Canis said. He can't be trusted. Don't you recall that he has threatened to destroy this family?
I may be old, but my memory is still intact, the old woman said defensively. Everyone deserves a second chance.
This man will stab you in the back the first chance he gets. Don't be such a fool.
There was a time when people said the same thing about you, Relda said angrily.
After a moment, she took a deep breath.
Mr. Canis, the decision has been made.
Granny Relda escorted Charming into the house, leaving Canis standing in the yard. He looked angrier than Sabrina had ever seen him, and worse, his anger was directed at her grandmother. Sabrina had never seen Granny Relda and Mr. Canis bicker before, let alone yell at each other. It made her nervous, especially now that she knew the destiny that lay ahead for the old man. Who knew what would make Canis snap and finally surrender to the wolf? When Canis stomped off into the woods and disappeared, she recalled the secret weapon held under lock and key at the bank. Was it time to retrieve it?
Nice suggestion, Brina, Uncle Jake said as he headed for the house. You sure you didn't fall and hit your head out in those woods?
Sabrina and Daphne followed Jake inside, where they found Charming eyeing the couch disdainfully. He turned toward the window and looked outside, as if weighing his alternatives, then turned back and fluffed up one of the couch cushions.
You are very kind. I'll try to stay out of the way.
Puck came down the steps and looked at the girls.
I heard you two were missing, he said to Sabrina.
We're back, Sabrina replied.
She knew her face was bright red. How would she ever forget that she and this smelly, rude, grime-covered boy were destined to be married?
Darn, he grumbled,
then turned and walked back up the steps.
There goes your future husband, Daphne whispered into her ear.
Yeah, he's a real sweetheart, Sabrina thought. Sabrina lay still in her father's old bed. Daphne tossed and turned next to her.
I'm afraid to go to sleep, the little girl whispered.
Sabrina got out of bed, flipped on the light, and crossed the room to her father's desk. She opened a drawer and took out a hairbrush. Daphne's eyes lit up when she saw it. Brushing Sabrina's hair always seemed to calm Daphne's fears.
We're back, Sabrina whispered as she sat back down on the bed in front of her sister. That's what matters. We're back, and we can make a difference.
What if we can't? Daphne asked, as she started to brush her sister's long hair.
Sabrina forced the doubt from her mind.
We have to. The first thing to do is solve the case. Do you think Charming can really help us wake up Mom and Dad? Daphne asked. I don't know, Sabrina whispered.
Suddenly, there was a soft tapping at their door. It creaked open, and the prince popped his head inside.
Get dressed and meet me downstairs, he hissed. We've got work to do.
He closed the door, and the girls tiptoed around the room, pulling on jeans and sweaters and shoving their feet into shoes. Then they crept down the stairs, where they found Charming waiting by the door. He had borrowed a pair of Uncle Jake's jeans and a white shirt and had wrapped himself in an old coat, presumably one their late grandfather Basil had owned.
What's the plan, Stan? Daphne asked.
Charming gestured for her to be silent and then ushered them outside into the cool spring air. He closed the door tightly, and Sabrina told the house they would be back soon, activating the magical lock. The lock was just one of the protection spells Granny had used on the house.
I have a few items I need to collect, and I could use the extra hands, Charming said. Items? What kind of items?
The kind that will change the future, he said. Unfortunately, they happen to be at the mansion.
Sabrina was shocked. The mansion? We can't go there. Mayor Hart lives there now. She's got guards. Guards with swords, Daphne added. Sharp, pointy swords.
Yes, I suppose she does, the prince said, as if that were a tiny detail.
Besides, what makes you think she still has these items? From what I hear, she's broken the bank redecorating the mansion. Anything you left behind is probably at the town dump by now.
Not these things, he said. If I know Hart, like I think I do, she would never throw these out. Oh, here's our ride.
Just then, two headlights pulled into the driveway. When Sabrina's eyes adjusted, she realized she was looking at a long white limousine. The driver's side door opened, and a dwarf in a black tuxedo stepped out.
"Good evening, Seven," Charming said.
The dwarf nodded.
"Good evening."
"Thank you for taking my call," Charming said, looking down at the ground. He shuffled his feet uncomfortably. In the future, Charming seemed to have respect for Mr. Seven. But in the present, the little man was still Charming's former assistant, and the ex-mayor hadn't been a very nice boss. As Charming's assistant, Seven had been subjected to a steady onslaught of insults and criticisms. Still, the dwarf had been incredibly loyal to the prince, even up to the moment he lost the election and Mr. Seven lost his job. Charming shuffled back and forth as if deciding on whether to apologize for all his abuse. In the end, he simply patted the dwarf on the back.
"Well, as they say in the fairy tales, your chariot awaits," Mr. Seven said, as if he realized that was as close to an apology as he would ever receive.
He rushed to open the door and helped the girls and Charming into the car. Moments later, they were pulling away from the house and zipping through the back roads of Fairyport Landing.
"So, what's so important that we have to risk life and limb to sneak into the mansion?" Sabrina asked.
"Amongst other things, a magic detector," Charming said.
"A what?" Daphne asked.
"A device that finds magic," Charming repeated. "Your older self was using it in the future to track the time tears. It is an incredibly powerful magical item. I'm giving it to you tonight."
Daphne smiled.
"Thanks."
"And you think giving it to her is going to change the future?" Sabrina asked.
Charming nodded.
"I know it is. See, in the future, Daphne and I tracked it down. Giving it to you now alters the timeline. It will also allow you to find the devices that were stolen, which obviously never happened in the future."
"Turn the car around," Sabrina said to Mr. Seven. The little man raised his eyebrows in surprise.
"What are you doing?" Charming said.
"I know what happened in the future, when you faced Nottingham," she replied, flashing her eyes toward Daphne. In her mind, she could still see the jagged scar that ran down the future Daphne's face. "I won't let that happen."
"Grim, neither will I," Charming said, seeming to understand her concern. "I made a promise."
"Absolutely not."
Don't I get a say in this?" Daphne said.
"This has nothing to do with you," Sabrina lied.
"You don't have to be a genius to know that I get hurt in the future trying to get this magic detector," the little girl said.
"But we have to do this. Solving this case might make a huge difference. I'd rather have a scar than let the world turn out the way it does, or did, or whatever."
"Daphne, it's my choice," the little girl interrupted.
"Sabrina, it will make a difference," Charming said, "which is the basis for my plan. I'm going to do everything I can to alter the future by making as many changes as I can now."
The prince turned his attention back to his diminutive driver.
"What do you know about security?"
"She's got guards at all the doors and windows," Seven said. "Then a few roaming around the house."
"That's not good."
"It gets worse. Nottingham is living in the house. The mayor's a little on the paranoid side and is convinced someone is going to come in and kill her in the night."
"The mayor is smarter than she looks," Charming said. "Good work, Seven. I'm sure the general will give you a medal for this."
"I'm sorry, sir."
Charming smiled sheepishly, then flipped the switch that raised the divider between the front and back seat. The limousine snaked its way through the farmlands of the town until it reached the street in front of the mayor's mansion. Seven stopped the car and helped everyone out, then strolled around to the trunk and opened it. Charming scooped up a pile of rope and some flashlights, then closed the trunk.
"This could get dangerous," Charming said to his former assistant.
"Danger is my middle name," Mr. Seven replied as he got back into the car.
I thought your middle name was Albert, Charming said.
It is, sir. I was making a joke.
Oh, Charming said. Could you stop that?
Seven nodded.
Maybe Charming could get a sense of humor, Sabrina whispered to her sister. That would totally change the future.
Seven started up the limo and pulled into the mansion's driveway. While he drove, Charming led the girls onto the property. They darted from tree to tree, waiting in the shadows as they got closer and closer to the house. It wasn't long before they spotted some of the mayor's guards, men with arms, heads, and legs like people, but torsos that were nothing more than extra-large playing cards. Sabrina fought back the dizzy feeling she often got when faced with something that should have been impossible. Seven parked the limousine by the front door, next to a fountain that had once featured a statue of Charming at its center. Now it contained a marble sculpture of the Queen of Hearts, though substantially thinner and more attractive than the real person. The moment the little man opened the limo door, an obnoxious dance song blasted through the car's brutally loud speakers.
"What's he doing?" Sabrina said.
"Just wait," Charming snapped, as if irritated that she would question the details of his plan.
"Here they come," Daphne said,
pointing at a half a dozen of the playing card guards as they raced to the limo. Shouting over the music, they quickly leveled their swords at Mr. Seven's head. Sabrina couldn't make out what they said, or what he said back, but they seemed to be arguing. A moment later, the front door flew open, and Nottingham stormed out, dressed in a robe and slippers, his crooked dagger in his hand.
"Let's go," the prince whispered.
He led the girls around the back of the house, where they found a door. Charming tried the handle, but it was locked tight.
"I was hoping this was going to be easy," he said, pulling the rope off his shoulder. One end had a grappling hook attached to it. He tossed it onto the roof, and it caught on something. He yanked it hard to test it and gestured to Sabrina.
"You want me to climb this?" Sabrina said.
"Looking at it is not going to get you onto the roof," Charming sneered.
Sabrina shrugged, grabbed onto the rope, and pulled with all her might. She had learned to climb ropes in gym class. The trick wasn't in the shoulders or the arms, it was in the feet. Wrapping the rope around her heels kept her from sliding down and made the whole effort much easier. Soon she was on the roof, looking down at her sister and the prince. Charming had Daphne leap onto his back, and a few anxious moments later, they joined Sabrina. Charming darted over to the chimney. He peered down into it and felt the bricks.
"Good. She hasn't built a fire."
Meanwhile, Sabrina was quickly pulling up the rope. Her heart nearly stopped when one of the guards rushed around the house below her. He ran right by the rope, and though he didn't seem to see it in the darkness, it flicked against the back of his neck. He threw up his hand, as if he were shooing a mosquito, and he would have certainly discovered the rope by his ear if Sabrina hadn't been pulling as quickly as she possibly could.
"Bring it over here," Charming whispered.
The girls pulled the heavy rope across the roof the best they could. The prince took it and attached the grappling hook to a rain gutter, giving it a good yank. The gutter creaked but seemed to be stable. Then he tossed the loose end of the rope down into the chimney and hoisted Daphne onto his back.
"We'll go first," he said. "If there happens to be someone waiting for us at the bottom, then climb back down to the lawn and run for your grandmother."
"But you have the rope," Sabrina reminded him.
"Well, then, I guess we're all in deep trouble if there's someone down there."
He climbed into the chimney, and Sabrina watched Charming and her sister descend into the darkness below. After several moments, she decided it was her turn. She scaled the chimney side, grabbed the rope tightly, and lowered herself down. In no time at all, her nose and mouth were filled with soot. All the dust made breathing impossible. She leaned against the chimney wall with her back and used her feet to lock herself into place. Then she reached into a coat pocket for a handkerchief, put it up to her nose and mouth, and took shallow breaths until the itching in her throat stopped. Then she shoved the handkerchief back into her pocket and continued on.
Unfortunately, climbing down in the narrow space was extremely difficult. She kept knocking her knees and knuckles against the rough bricks of the chimney. She scraped her back so hard she cried out, and before she knew it, Sabrina hit the floor with a thud. Luckily, it wasn't a long drop, and she wasn't injured. She looked around to get her bearings and saw the opening of the fireplace before her. If she craned her neck, she could see into the mansion's grand hall. She was just about to crawl out and find Charming and Daphne when she saw two sets of unfamiliar feet.
"What does that moron want?"
a woman asked. Sabrina recognized the grating voice. It was Mayor Hart.
"He says that you hired a limousine to take you to a bachelorette party," the second voice said.
Sabrina knew that one as well. It was Nottingham, and he was boiling with rage.
"That's nonsense," Mayor Hart cried. "Send him away."
"I'm trying, but the little fool won't listen," Nottingham replied. "I suspect he may be dim in the head."
"Then can't you cut it off and be done with him? I need my rest."
Just then there was a rush of feet, and another man's voice said,
"The driver has departed, Sheriff."
"Very good," Nottingham said. "Go back to your post."
"As you wish, sir."
When the man was gone, the wicked duo continued their conversation.
"Nottingham, I'm very distraught over all of this. I doubt that I will ever get to sleep now unless..."
"Don't even think about it," the sheriff said.
"But my bunions are killing me. Come to my room and rub my feet,"
Mayor Hart begged.
"Absolutely not."
"But it's the only thing that puts me to sleep."
"Try counting tax payments. It eases me to sleep every night."
"Do it, or I will have your head chopped off."
There was a long pause.
"You get 15 minutes, Nottingham replied. "Not a second more."
"Oh, you're an angel."
Moments later, they were gone, and Sabrina crawled out of the fireplace. She scanned the room for Charming and Daphne and spotted them hiding behind a gaudy curtain in the hall. They rushed to her side, struggling to hide their laughter.
"What?" Sabrina whispered angrily.
"You seem to have got a little of the chimney dirt on you when you came down," Charming said. Sabrina stepped over to a mirror hanging on the wall. In the moonlight, she could see she was completely covered in black soot. Her hair, clothes, and every inch of her skin was as black as coal. Worse, she was starting to itch. She gritted her teeth, did her best to regain her dignity, and then turned back to the pair. Neither had a speck of dust on them.
"Naturally," she grumbled. "What now?"
"Follow me," Charming whispered. He led the girls through the rooms on the first floor. He opened each door, took a quick peek inside, and then closed it. Whatever he was looking for was not downstairs, so they were forced to climb the steps. Sabrina, who had snuck out of many places in her life, knew that the best place to walk on stairs was on the edges, as that was where the nails had been placed, and so was usually the quietest. She gave the tip to Charming, who nodded and did as he was told. Moments later, they had climbed the grand staircase and were exploring the second floor. It wasn't long before they exhausted their search.
"It's in her room," Charming mumbled. "It has to be."
"What's in her room?" Sabrina said. Charming ignored her question.
"We're going to have to go in there."
"What?" Daphne cried. "Nottingham is in there."
Again, Charming ignored them. He walked down a hallway and stopped at a door. Before the girls could argue, he opened it and dragged them through. Mayor Hart's room was a shrine to herself. There were pictures of her in various gaudy outfits, all of which were covered in little red hearts. Hanging over her bed was a huge axe that Sabrina was sure could easily lop a person's head clean off his shoulders. On the far wall leaned a full-length mirror. Nottingham was slumped in a chair by the mayor's bed. He was sound asleep with Hart's corn-covered foot in his lap, mumbling something about taxes.
"This way,"
Charming whispered, walking lightly toward the mirror.
What are we looking for?
Sabrina grumbled as she watched the sleeping sheriff. She could see his dagger gleaming in the moonlight from the window. A similar sparkle bounced off the axe. She imagined Hart and Nottingham springing from their beds and cutting the intruders to ribbons.
Nottingham!
The mayor shouted and sat up in bed. She was wearing a sleeping mask and was reaching to remove it when Charming snatched the girls and threw them at the mirror's reflection. Sabrina cringed, expecting to smash the glass, but instead, she and Daphne flew through it and landed on a marble floor. Charming followed them in and turned back to the portal. He watched as Nottingham reluctantly got out of his chair and checked under the queen's bed and in her closets.
We're in a magic mirror,
Daphne said as she helped Sabrina get to her feet. Sabrina was too surprised to respond. She had been in a magic mirror many times, of course. The Hall of Wonders was a breathtaking place, but this magic mirror was simply beyond belief. Instead of a long hallway lined with doors, they were standing in the lobby of a posh hotel. The floors were covered in beautiful Persian rugs. There were plush leather sofas and chairs scattered about, and spectacular chandeliers hanging from the ceiling. A wall of windows revealed a beautiful sun-soaked beach just outside, with palm trees swaying in the breeze. Sabrina and Daphne approached the windows and gawked at the beautiful scenery. It had been a long time since the sun had shined so brightly in Ferryport Landing.
Is that real?
Daphne said, as she gazed out at the crystal blue ocean. Charming didn't respond.
Hello? He said loudly.
He stepped up to a long reception desk and leaned over it.
Hello?
Just then, Sabrina heard a loud bell, and an elevator door opened behind them. A chubby Asian man wearing a Hawaiian shirt stepped out. His face was tanned, and his eyes were lined with crow's feet. A big grin filled the man's face, and he hugged Charming.
Boss, I knew you'd come back to rescue me. Where have you been?
I've been out of town, Harry, Charming said, pulling himself away from the man and fussily straightening his clothes. These are Relda Grimm's granddaughters. Harry clapped his hands.
Aloha, he said. Welcome to the Hotel of Wonders. I'm your host, Harry. Checking in?
I'm afraid not, Charming said. I've just come for a few things in my room.
Right away, sir, Harry said.
He raced around the reception desk and opened a drawer containing a collection of old-fashioned hotel keys, each attached to a bright red keychain with a number printed on its front.
You own a magic mirror? Sabrina said.
There is more than one child, Charming said.
There is? Daphne wondered.
Mirror never told us that.
Found it, Harry said,
as he came around the desk and gestured for the group to follow him. They stepped into an elevator, and Harry pushed a button that read, Penthouse. The elevator had glass walls, allowing the girls to look out on the beach as they rose into the sky.
Boss, you have to get me out of here, Harry continued. Every day, Hart gets dressed in front of me. A mirror can only take so much.
You'll be leaving with us, Charming said.
Very good, sir. It's good to have you back.
It's good to be back. Harry turned to the girls.
So, I heard you mention you have a mirror of your own?
Sabrina nodded.
Yes, his name is Mirror.
Interesting. Odd that he doesn't have a name, Harry replied. Must have been one of the earlier models.
Their mirror was originally the Wicked Queen's personal mirror, Charming explained.
Ah, that explains it. The prototype, Harry said when the elevator stopped and the doors opened.
I'm confused, Daphne said. How many magic mirrors are there?
Harry led them down a hallway decorated with beautiful paintings.
Oh, that's hard to say. The Wicked Queen made all the magic mirrors. She would create mirrors like this one to fill the particular needs of her customers. She called us the deluxe packages. There are mirrors that are deserted islands, ski resorts, and even one that looks like a Polish restaurant in Cleveland, Ohio.
Charming shrugged. Everyone has their own taste.
The prince needed a retreat, a place where he could get away and relax. So, naturally, the Hotel of Wonders was perfect for him, Harry said proudly. It's a full-service luxury hotel fit for a prince.
Daphne looked up at Charming.
I always wondered how you stayed so tanned.
Masters can choose to give their mirrors names. I suppose your mirror didn't get a name because the Wicked Queen didn't feel it was necessary, Harry explained. She was never big on personalization.
Oh, here we are.
They stopped at a door with a bronze plaque that read, The Royal Suite. Harry inserted the key into the lock and let the group inside. It was a beautiful room with a king-size bed and satin sheets. There was an enormous jacuzzi and a fireplace in the bathroom, and in an adjoining room a few chairs surrounded an oak bar. Harry opened two double doors, revealing a walk-in closet filled with expensive suits and shoes, and many drawers and small nooks. Charming selected a long white jacket, which he laid on the bed. Then he picked out a clean black suit, some socks and shoes, and a tie. He lay these on the inside lining of the jacket, and they magically sank into it and disappeared.
Cool! I want one, Daphne said.
Charming nodded. It's called the Hungry Jacket. It acts like a locker until I want things. Then I just reach in and take them.
It would come in real handy when we get the secret weapon, Daphne said.
Sabrina flashed the little girl an angry look.
What secret weapon? The former mayor asked.
Daphne looked around and whistled innocently. What secret weapon? Sabrina knew there was no use hiding it any longer.
Show him.
Daphne took the necklace out of her shirt and showed Charming the key.
Sheriff Hampstead gave it to us. He said it unlocked a safety deposit box that held a secret weapon we could use in case Mr. Canis lost control of the wolf. We're not supposed to get it unless he does, and we're not supposed to tell anyone that we have it.
Charming held the key in his hand for a moment, then gave it back to the girl.
Interesting, he murmured.
Everything in order, boss, Harry said. I had the cap of wisdom cleaned, but those rust stains on the sword of sharpness are impossible.
I won't be taking those, Harry, Charming said.
He laid some more clothes in the center of the jacket and pulled the four corners together. Then he dropped two of the corners and shook it out. The clothing was gone.
But I'll be needing the magic detector.
Harry nodded and rushed to a drawer across the room. From inside it, he removed a small black ball, no bigger than a marble. It was identical to the one Sabrina had seen the future Daphne use. Charming took it from Harry and handed it to Daphne. The little girl marveled at it for a minute.
I feel funny, she said, like I'm vibrating.
And then she did just that. It was disturbing to see the little girl shaking so hard. Sabrina wondered if it hurt.
You're detecting magic, Charming said. That should help you find the missing magic items.
This town is filled with magic items, Sabrina said. How do we narrow it down?
Daphne will feel things of great power automatically, Charming explained. But if she concentrates, it will lead her to specific objects. You're going to have to practice. Now let's go. I've got to get you home before you're missed.
No time for a break, boss. The spa's offering hot stone massages, Harry said, as he closed the doors of the closet.
Not today, Harry, Charming replied.
Harry led them out of the room, down the elevator, and into the lobby, where they found the portal that would take them back into the real world. Sabrina looked through it. Nottingham was gone, and the mayor was sound asleep.
I think the coast is clear, she told the others.
Good luck, folks, Harry said. It was a pleasure having you here in the hotel. Perhaps you two could come for a longer stay sometime.
Charming flashed Harry a warning look.
Or maybe not, Harry said. Well, aloha, and happy surfing.
Charming was the first to step through the portal. Sabrina and Daphne followed, and the sounds of surf immediately disappeared, replaced with Hart's heavy snoring. Charming gestured for the girls to be still, then draped the white jacket over the mirror. When he pulled the garment away, the mirror was gone, just as the clothing had vanished.
Nice trick, Sabrina whispered. With the jacket over his arm, Charming crossed the room and carefully opened the door. He craned his neck to look into the hallway and then gestured for the others to follow. Soon they were directly in front of the fireplace.
"I'll go first," Sabrina said, crawling into the fireplace.
She searched the space for the rope, but couldn't find it.
"The rope is gone," she whispered, climbing out quickly.
"Of course it's gone,"
a voice said from the darkness. The group spun around, but all they could see was a dark figure lurking in the shadows.
"I can't just let people break in and out of the mayor's house whenever they want."
Charming clamped his hands on the girls' mouths and pulled them close to him.
"Who are you?"
Nottingham asked. A ray of moonlight caught the silver dagger he held in his hand. Charming moved the girls through the room, careful to stay away from any light that might reveal their identities, while also avoiding Nottingham's blade. It wasn't easy. The sheriff was fast and nimble. He lunged forward, slashing the air, and they leaped back.
"Whoever you are, you're either brave or stupid," Nottingham seethed. "Not many would break into the Queen of Hearts' home. I'll give you credit for being clever, too. Crawling down the chimney was brilliant. I'll have to post a guard on the roof from now on."
Nottingham lunged again. This time, Charming threw a punch that caught the sheriff in the face. While he was recovering from the blow, Charming ushered the girls to another part of the room. Nottingham roared with indignation. Sabrina guessed his pride was hurt more than his face. He leaped at them, swinging his deadly blade in every direction. The girls stumbled backward, avoiding the sheriff the best they could. Unfortunately, the dagger clipped Charming's arm. There was a tearing sound, and the prince let out a little groan.
"Aha!"
Nottingham cried. He chased Charming around the room, knocking over tables and lamps. Glass crashed to the floor, furniture was overturned, and in the mad, savage assault, the sheriff caught his boot on an upturned rug. He stumbled forward, falling on top of Daphne and knocking her to the ground. Without hesitation, Sabrina leaped on top of him, kicking and punching as she tried to free her little sister. Nottingham, however, seemed undisturbed by Sabrina's attack and held his shiny dagger up to Daphne's face. She cried out, terrified.
"Why, you're just a child," Nottingham said. "Perhaps I should leave you with something to remember me by."
He raised the dagger high over his head, but before its blade could scar Daphne's face, Charming kicked the sheriff in the ribs. The blade flew out of Nottingham's hand and skidded across the floor. As the sheriff clambered to his feet, Charming landed another painful punch to the sheriff's face. Sabrina heard a bone crack, and the villain bellowed in pain, then fell over a chair and hit his head on the floor. After that, he was silent.
"That's for Daphne Grimm," Charming said, standing over the fallen villain. "Present and future."